I just clicked on record, so let me.
All right, it's over to me, Pam.
It definitely is.
Wow. Welcome. Thank you. It's so wonderful to be back with you all. Well, I've seen I managed to change my name. So my Zoom is actually set up more for my business at the moment. I've been training lots of schools around. And what's been really interesting, I suppose, in terms of testimonies in this season is it's like everything's been stripped away except for the presence. And, you know, in some ways, that's the most beautiful place we can find ourselves in. So if you're, when Pam said at the start, anyone got a testimony, the fact that he's with us is our testimony. The fact that he's our comfort is our testimony. He's our peace in this season. You know, I think that that's the testimonies of what is happening in the world and around the world. And you know, when I've been working in the schools, that's what I'm hearing so many times. They're like, it's like we're shaking, but we're in this bubble of safety, and people are starting to wonder, what is that? And so, you know, while things are shaky out there, we've got this eternal place of safety, of comfort, of healing, of everything that we could ever need. And so be encouraged. Don't play down those testimonies if it's not a physical healing or it's not a big testimony of financial breakthrough. His presence with you is our testimony. And, you know, on this Palm Sunday, I woke up this morning and I felt sad. And I was like, God, what is this? Why am I sad? And he's like, Karina, it's the beginning of the fact that Jesus chose suffering because of his great love for us. And I was just reminded again this morning of what a price he went down, you know, what a road he went down, what a price he paid for you and I to actually know him. And I was just moved with emotion this morning as I just sat with him and went, thank you. I don't have anything else but thank you. And so if it feels like circumstances right now, it's hard to find thankfulness. It's hard to find the breakthroughs in our circumstances. Find them in him. And I truly believe that's the season that we're in right now. It's like everything else has been stripped away and we have him. And that is the most beautiful gift that we could ever have. So I want to share a message with you. I feel like this is a prophetic message. Pam and I met up literally the day before I flew out of the country. So I flew out whenever that was, end of February to Asia. And so I spent a week in Malaysia and a week in Thailand and got home on the 17th of March, which meant I spent 2 weeks in isolation. So the plan was I was going to come and spend that Sunday with you, but you can't really do that from isolation. So I said to Pam, the option could be Zoom or another time. So we booked in today, but here we are all on Zoom today. So that's how fast things change. So I want to share this prophetic message with you because not only do I think it's been for your church, I actually feel like, and what I'm going to share with you is actually what I shared with the Kingdom Family Gathering that I was part of in Asia. So Mama Heidi Baker was there and Papa Leif Hetland was there, and we just gathered together in Asia to really hear what God was saying. And I think how interesting that the message I shared, actually I felt to start with, was for you as a church community. And so I want to share that. I think it's a prophetic word for something that God wants to do in and through Pursuit. So I'm excited you're recording it, Pam, because I really think for people to be able to go back and listen, to really comprehend what the Spirit is saying to us, I think in this season is a really big deal. So Pam, I don't know if you remember the word I said to you. I said, I've got a prophetic word for your church. I don't know if you remember it. I said it was hinges. And at the time I was like, what am I saying? What is this? What is it about hinges? But that's all I had. So do you remember me saying that to you, Pam? I said, I've got a message and it's a message on hinges and I'm sure God will tell me more. So that was the day before I flew out of New Zealand. And I went into a three-day fellowship. So part of our Kingdom Family Gathering, there's about 12 of us internationally that just get together to share life together, to pray together, to have worship. And while I was there, I had an open-eyed vision and I was standing before a door. And Jesus was right there, and he said to me, he said, Karina, is the door open or is the door closed? Oh, we've got people waiting in the waiting room, Pam, I just see. Do I do that now?
I made you the host so that you will be there.
You didn't make her the host.
I have made her the host. Yes, so you are the...
I've admitted them both. Look
at
them.
Oh, awesome.
I don't know who they are, so I hope you know them. All right, I think we're good to go again now. Let me just close that. All right, so I had this open eye vision in one of our times of ministry together, and I'm standing beside this door. Jesus is right there, and he said to me, Karina, is the door open or is the door closed? And I was like, well, Jesus, it depends how we see doors. I said, if we see a door and that I can see through it, then the door's closed because I can't see on the other side. But I don't really know. He asked me again, is the door open or is the door closed? And I said, well, it depends on your definition of an open door. He said, no, I want you to think about it. He said, what makes a door open or closed? And I said, well, it latches. So he said, is the door latched? And I said, no, the door's not latched. So there was enough of a crack that the door wasn't shut. So I said, therefore, the door's open. And he said, Karina, is the door open? And in that stage of my open vision, I pushed the door, but the door didn't move. So I was like, maybe I was wrong. Maybe the door's not open. Maybe the door's shut. And God said to me, what determines the door swinging or non-swinging? And I said, it's the hinges. And I was again reminded of this prophetic word that I had for your church. And as you were coming up to your, was it 30 years, Pam? Yeah, your 30-year anniversary. I really felt like this hinge. I know that there's something about this moment of history that is, I think, a hinge moment that can determine so much of how we see. And so as I said that, as I said, what stops a door swinging is simply a hinge. It's not actually a big thing. It's actually a little component that determines whether a door swings or doesn't swing. And as I was thinking about that, God said, I want you to look at moments of hinging in people's lives that position them for the door to swing widely open. Because what I want to do in this next season involves that door being able to be walked through. Because that's the other thing. Can I see through it? Could I walk through it? At the beginning of that vision, I could do neither of those things. And so... As I started thinking about this and thinking about these hinges in our lives, like a hinge looks like this. It's a coming together. It's like the hinge. I'm not a builder. So if there's builders out there that get hinges better than me, apologize for my inability to use proper terms. But what I understand about hinges is it's a coming together of two components that then has a pin going through it. And as I saw these, I felt like Jesus take me to some key moments of the journey that he walked with people after his resurrection that I believe are hinge moments that will position us for that door to swing widely open. And so that's what I'm going to share with you today. I hope that's okay. I'm looking at all your beautiful faces. It's nice to see you and some smiles and some waves, and that makes it feel like I'm not talking to myself and my computer screen. It's my first time preaching on Zoom. I've done other things on Zoom, but this is my first time preaching. So I want to teach a little bit about this, and then I want to just have a space of ministry because I believe God wants to bring in some hinge moments for us so the door can swing widely open for what it is that God's wanting to do. Alrighty, so Jesus said, I want you to look at the moments that I came that actually created hinge moments for people that positioned them into their lives in some ways. And so, you know, we know the story of Jesus. We know that after he died, that he rose again. And the first person he encountered was Mary. Mary loved Jesus so much. She'd built her whole life. She built her whole life on this love for Jesus, this relationship with Jesus, this treasure. And so I wonder for Mary if in him dying and in him being put in a tomb, she went, well, at least I can go and have a one-way conversation with him at the tomb. At least I can go there. At least I can find him there. And so in this pain and this grief, she shows up to where she thought Jesus's body should be, and he's not there. And one thing I know about seasons of pain and despair and things not going as we think they're going to go, they blind us. And so here is Mary looking for her Savior, yet her Savior is right there behind her. But because of the pain, she's so blinded by that she can't even recognize that that's Jesus. And I think, how incredible that in that he didn't say, "Whoa, Mary, it is I." He didn't go there. He didn't reveal himself. He revealed her. He spoke, well, he asked her a question first. "Mary, who are you looking for?" And she thinks he's the gardener. So she's like, "If you've taken him, tell me where he is." She's so blinded, she can't see who he is. So here's Mary in her pain as one hinge. And what does Jesus do? Jesus didn't say, "Come on, Mary, can't you see that that's me?" No, he comes as a hinge and he simply speaks her name. It's in speaking of her name, the way that he would have used his tone of voice, the way that he expressed who she was to him, opened her up to, I believe, a hinge moment that positioned her into something. And so I believe the space of hinging, where we hear Jesus call us by name in our pain, in our discomfort, in our despair, positions us as one hinge for the door that leads us into. I think as Christians, we've been afraid of our pain. We've been afraid of emotion, and we can be like Mary. "Well, at least I can hold on to this. At least I've still got this little bit. And if I've still got this little bit, then I'll go to the grave." You know, Mary went to the place that he was dead. She didn't go to a live place. She went to the tomb. And I think sometimes we can have relationships with God like that if there's not a hinge happen for us. We can go looking for something and something that's actually dead because once it was alive. And I don't know about you, but I've come to realize God is a moving God. He's always on the move. And as we come to realize that holding on. And so I want to encourage you, if you're holding on to that, "Well, at least I can meet God." And people are like that right now. "Well, at least I can meet God on a Sunday morning when Ray plays the piano." You know, there's so much more than that. And so as there's been restrictions made upon us right now, I think we're in this season where God wants to meet us in our living rooms. He wants to meet us in our bedrooms. He wants to meet us in our kitchens and in our lives in a way that hinges us to something that's so living that we actually have this hinge, him and I together. But isn't it interesting? He didn't create that hinge with Mary in her best moment. He created it in many ways in one of her darkest, hardest moments. God's not afraid of that. He just wants to meet you in that. And so that's the first person. Isn't it interesting that that's the first place that Jesus chooses to show up? He doesn't make it about himself. He just said, "Who are you looking for?" And then he spoke Mary's name. That's who he is. And as we come to realize that, we realize he actually, his heart, his intention is to become so entwined with us, so hinged with us, that we can step into something that will change history. And I think that's what he did. And so we don't need to pretend. We don't need to put on masks. We can simply be where we are. If you're feeling sad right now and in this, this transition we're going through, feel sad. But allow him to meet you. Allow him to speak your name. Allow yourself space to hear that. Don't fill the void with so many things that just mean that meeting him feels like it's not really there. And so that's the first hinge. God wants to show up in your pain, in your discomfort, in your despair, and he wants to be present and alive in that. And it will begin with him going, he will begin by speaking your name. He will speak Norm. He will speak Louise. He will speak Keith. He will speak Karen. That's who he is. He's not about the masses. He's about the one. He's about relationship. And so I want to encourage you, make space for that. But don't try and put on your Sunday best of, well, I'm just going to praise Jesus and pretend like everything's okay. He's not asking for that. He's just asking us to create a space where Mary didn't ignore him. Mary responded to him. That's all we need to do. Mary got it so wrong, he thought it was the gardener. Jesus didn't even correct her at that point. And so sit in the true place that you are, but allow him to meet you there. That, I believe, is a hinge that's so important in this time. And so that's our first hinge. If you've got your Bibles, you can follow along in John 20. I love that Jesus said, and I'm reading from the Passion Translation today, it just says in verse 16, I wish that I could hear Jesus saying, Mary, because I think the way he would have said it would help shape our ability to have intimate communion with him, because that's what he did. And it was in that, as you know, he said, Mary, she was able to turn and face him. You know, that's the power of relationship. We don't have to do that alone. It's actually a relational interaction that in our pain and discomfort, you don't have to turn yourself to Jesus. Allow Jesus to minister to you. And in the ministering, the natural outflow will be a turning to him, because that's what he does. That's who he is. And so then we know that Jesus came to his disciples, and isn't it interesting, the hinge that he gave them? I can imagine here they are going, what the hang? We gave up our life for this life with Jesus. We gave everything. And then he's dead, but there's talk that maybe he's alive. Like, what's going on? Isn't it interesting that the next hinge, the next point that he met people in, was in their confusion, I think. And he spoke one word. He spoke peace. You know, God is okay with your questions. He's okay with your unknown. I was laughing actually with someone yesterday on Zoom. They were like, isn't it interesting? Everyone had the word for this year, 2020, being a year of clarity. And I'm laughing about it, not because I think we heard or saw wrong. I think it's because this is who God is. He doesn't think the way we think. He doesn't act the way we act. And so we find ourselves in the state of, it can feel like, what's going on? And he comes and he just speaks peace. He's like, peace I give you, peace I leave with you. That's who he is. So if you're in the state of not knowing, I don't know at the moment. I think anybody that thinks they know right now, I've got peace, but I don't know if I know, and I'm okay in that. And I think that's another hinge that we can live on, that we can experience this place of utter peace in the unknown. And that's what I feel like I'm in right now, and I want to encourage you in that, that we're not looking to know right now. We're looking to be with the one who is I am. Because when we know I am peace, I am your healer, I am love, I am, then we start to live in the life of response of you are. And when that happens, then life starts to turn and we get to see shifts in so many different places. And so that's the next place. But isn't it interesting that the disciples were all together minus one? There was one missing, and that was Thomas. So Thomas comes back to the disciples after Jesus has met them and he's given them peace, and they're probably all on top of the world. And Thomas is like, well, guys, I wasn't there. I wasn't part of that. You know, if I don't see with my eyes and if I don't get to actually touch with my hands, then I'm not really sure I'm going to believe that. You know, some of us could go, well, Thomas the Doubter, and I've heard people preach messages about Thomas the Doubter. I don't think Thomas was a doubter. I think he knew who Jesus was enough to go, I want to partake of that for me. And I believe that rather than Thomas doubting that, he's like, I missed that moment, but man, Jesus, I know how abundant you are. I know how good you are. I'm actually going to believe that I get to have an experience of that for myself. And it's okay to ask God for that. Because when we look at it, Jesus met Thomas right in that. Don't be afraid to ask those questions. You know, if you've heard that, you know, they've had this great revival in some place and you're like, man, I feel like I missed that. Ask for it. That's what Thomas did. He's like, I'm going to believe when I see. And so what did Jesus do? Jesus came right into that, into Thomas going, I want to have that encounter myself. I actually think Thomas had a hunger. I think as much as he had some doubt there as well, I also think he had a hunger to go, I've spent time with Jesus. I know who this Jesus is. And he's that kind and he's that gracious and he's that abundant that he'll give that to me. And so Thomas is like, I want to see it to believe it. And so what happens? Jesus comes and we read, isn't it interesting though? It took 8 days. I wonder what those 8 days were like for Thomas. I've asked, but flip. He hasn't showed up day one. Didn't show up day two. Didn't show up day three. Didn't show up day four. Didn't show up 5, 6, 7. Now comes day 8. Jesus stands before them. Peace to you. Isn't it interesting what Jesus did next? It says then, looking into Thomas's eye, he said, put your finger here in the wounds of my hand. Isn't it interesting that on day 8, Jesus shows up and he looks Thomas in the eye, almost saying, Thomas, you know what? You're amazing to me. I love you so much. I'm giving my full attention to you. We give direct eye contact when we are captivated by what is before us. Jesus was captivated by Thomas. He looked directly at Thomas and says, put your finger here. You can know that I heard that, Thomas. And I'm not afraid of that, even if it was said with some doubt. So maybe some doubt, maybe some hunger, maybe some confusion, maybe fear of missing out. Who knows? Maybe a whole mixture of lots of things. But Jesus comes in there and he looks Thomas in the eye. What a powerful thing of saying to Thomas, you're no less. I'm captivated by you. That's how intrigued I am by you. And I know you've got this question. So here, put your finger here. Touch the wounds. Know that it is I. I think what a powerful hinge moment that we can encounter him even in our questions that we feel like we've missed it. Maybe it's a missed opportunity. Maybe it's a missed moment. Maybe it's a, man, everybody else got this, but I didn't get that. Don't be afraid of that. Allow him to hinge himself into that, because when you see him directly looking at your questions, at your heart about what's important to you, it'll position you for that door to swing widely open. And so I love then, Jesus never leaves it at one person, because Jesus has this way that he goes for one person and then into the multitudes. And then he says, Thomas, now that you've seen me, you believe. But there are those who have never seen me with their eyes, but have believed in me with their hearts. And now they'll be blessed even more. You know, that's the beautiful thing with the kingdom. It's like Jesus gave Thomas such abundance, gave him such a hinge moment. And then Jesus turned it around for each one of us. That even though we didn't get to put our fingers in his hands, we're more blessed because we've simply believed. And I love that that's who he is. There is an abundance with his nature that we can step into. And so that, I think, is the second hinge. And I know one time when I was with you guys, I've shared already the story of how Jesus brought Peter back into a place that the church got built on. We're all here today because of Peter. We've got to remember that. But isn't it interesting that that hinge came in Peter's failure? So what do we have so far? We have Mary's pain, her despair, her holding on for at least a dead body, because a dead body's better than nothing. Jesus comes and hinges himself by speaking her name. Our next hinge we've got is, you know, our disciples. Here are our disciples in confusion. Jesus comes as a hinge to be peace in that situation. Didn't change it. You know, I think sometimes we ask God to change things that God's not actually wanting to change. He's wanting to hinge himself into that'll change the course of history. Love suffers. Love has pain with it. We can't get away from those things, because I think too often we're like, God, just get us out of that. Just change that around. Like, you know, I've heard people praying at the moment, like, Jesus, get rid of COVID-19. What if COVID-19 is another space in history that we're going to look back on that is like the cross of Jesus? You know, Satan thought he was winning the game. He thought he'd put God on a cross. And in that pain, God came and blew something that is the whole reason that we're all here today. So I'm not saying God causes things. I'm not saying that he's part of that. But I want us to be open to what it is to be fully hinged in this moment. If you've got pain in it, be hinged in it. If you've got doubt in it, be hinged in it. Be in a state where we know what it is to live as he's called us to live. And the last one, I think, is the biggest one. And so Peter he vowed in his heart that he would never leave Jesus, that he would always be there, that he would be the strongest, the most amazing, the most beautiful, the most, you know, that's Peter's story. That's what he shared. And yet in the moment, the key moment, Peter's nowhere to be found. And not only is he nowhere to be found, I think, Peter, you probably would have been better to find a cave and just stay in that cave till it all passed over. But no, you were in the midst of it. And in the midst of it, you pretended like you didn't even know Jesus. You know, for Jesus, that was more than just rejection. That's betrayal. That's like the closest of the closest to you. The one that said, I'm always going to be here. So here's Jesus and here's Peter going, I'm always going to be here. Here's the hinge. But when Jesus is standing in the most important moment, Peter's nowhere to be found. And so I love that even in our failure, even in the moments where we've let God down, God wants to come and make a hinge with us. And I love, it's almost like when you read Peter being reinstated, I love that that was almost like a pin by pin hinge being established. Jesus asked him a question, Peter, do you love me? And then and then Peter answers that. It's like a hinge and a hinge and a hinge and a hinge. And it builds this, or pin, whatever you call it, not even a pin. It's the whole thing, whatever's the hinges. But it's like it got reestablished and rebuilt. And I think so many times that's how we need to sit with even the failures that we've had. We've all had failures. A failure is only a failure depending on what we do with it. And isn't it interesting that Peter became the rock that the church was built on? And it was in that moment that I believe something powerful happened that created a hinge. So don't be afraid of your failings. Allow him to hinge himself into that. Allow him to be the redeemer of it. Peter didn't try and redeem himself. Peter did the awesome thing when he saw Jesus and he jumped out of the boat. So if you're in a boat and you see Jesus, definitely jump out of the boat. But Peter couldn't redeem himself. Peter didn't go, oh, Jesus, I did so badly. Please, please, please. No, Peter just ran to Jesus. And they had a conversation that brought about a hinge that I believe positioned us for what we walk in today. And so when we look at these people, and I'm sure we can see ourselves in them, we can go, we can quickly disqualify ourselves. If you've had failure, failure is the greatest thing that we'll use to disqualify ourselves. Pain is also, well, Jesus, I put my whole life on you and now you're dead. You know, that's enough. That pain in itself is enough to take us from what it is that God's wanting to do and where he's wanting to take us. And so I want to speak courage over to you today, that you'll have in your heart such a sense that where I go, David had this revelation. He said in Psalm, even if I put my bed in the pit of hell, you'll be there. David had this revelation. Even before Jesus came, David got this. You'd be there. He's with you. He's desiring to hinge himself to you in such a way that door will swing wide open and that you'll step into all that he has. You know, I think that you're in a season as a church, I believe, that God wants to do the extraordinary. But you know what? It doesn't come from us just trying to muster up the strength ourselves. I'm sure Mary didn't just run back to the disciples because she had a great thought in her head that maybe Jesus is alive and maybe he's not dead. No, she was lost in her pain. She was completely lost. Thomas was lost in his, well, I missed out, and unless I see it for myself, then I don't think I'm going to be there. And I'm sure Peter Peter had gone back to what he knew. He was back fishing. he was that lost in his failure that he thought, well, if I can't fish men, at least I can fish fish. That's where he went to. Don't be afraid of where you find yourself, but allow him to hinge himself. Create space for those encounters, for those moments where he wants to come and meet you face to face. He wants to speak to you in a way that you'll hear him so that you can be positioned into what it is that he has for you. Mary didn't imagine that. She saw him with her eyes. It was in the seeing of or the hearing of her name that she turned around and saw him, and then she went running back to the disciples. You know, I dream of what would it be like to see salvations not come because we've listened to a good message on evangelism, but actually come because we've encountered him. He's done something in our lives that's changed us so much that, man, I can't help but go and tell people. I can't help but contain this to myself. I am out there because he's done something in me. And that's what I believe this season is about. It's like he stripped so much away so that the one thing, the one treasure that's available to us is right before us. We can't go and numb ourselves by buying things at the shop or going to have a coffee with a friend at our favorite coffee shop or going and buying that favorite chocolate cake that only the best baker in Auckland makes. When we can't do those things, it's like he stripped away all the other things so that the one thing, the greatest treasure, can become the most available to us. And that's what I believe this is about for us. So don't disqualify yourself. You've heard about each of those moments. Isn't it interesting that they are the moments Jesus chose to show up in? Jesus doesn't show up for the most able, the most intelligent, the most amazing people, the richest people. No, he shows up for you. And my question is, are you allowing him to show up for you? Or have you disqualified yourself? You know, have you gone, well, Jesus, I missed the mark there. I failed there. You called me to speak a prophetic word. I can tell you, I went treasure hunting in my very early days because I was a very shy person. And Jesus is like, speak to that person. I was so afraid, you know, that person came back into my sphere of the world 20 times in the space of 3 hours. That's how good he is at bringing somebody back to you. Took me 20 times of seeing that person till I had enough courage within me to actually say, hey, this is a message from heaven. That's how good he is at what he does. Don't disqualify yourself. I did my best to run away and Jesus just kept bringing that person back. By the 20th time, I'm like, I think this person could show up at my house if I don't speak to him. That was a point when I realized that I was like, okay, Jesus, I surrender. I might not feel the most able and I might not be the best at this, but I'm going to trust you and I'm going to speak to them. They got healed. It was beautiful. But, you know, I'm sharing the process. That's how good he is. That's how he'll hinge himself. He doesn't say to us, well, Karina, I gave you 5 times. You've had 5 strikes. Now you're out. No, he doesn't do that. He'll bring it back and 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 he'll hinge himself in your pain, in your confusion, in your doubt, in your unknown, in your questions. He'll hinge himself into that. And that's what I believe he wants to do in this season. And so I want to encourage you where you are. Create space for that. It's not going to happen listening to a next preacher. You know, we have so much available right now to us online. It's going to come as we sit with him. And as he encountered Mary, as he encountered Thomas, as he encountered Peter, would you allow him to meet you like that? Would you just allow his presence to come even right now, even as you're sitting in your living room or wherever you are? That's how he wants to be with you. He actually wants to meet you. He wants to speak your name. He wants to look in your eyes so that you know that he is captivated by who you are. That you can hear him re-establish the destiny on your life if you feel like you mucked up or you failed somewhere. That's what he wants to do. That's what this season is about. And so I just want to encourage you, make space for that. Allow him to speak to you. I know for me, Last year I had a dream that I didn't understand. He said, Karina, I'm taking away the four walls of what you've known as church and comfortableness. That's definitely been the season for me. But the encounter that I've had with him has positioned me now. The influence that I've had, I truly believe I wouldn't be having right now if I hadn't have actually walked through what I walked through. And it had some pain in it. I can be honest. You know, life has some pain in it. It has some confusion. It has some doubts in it. But as we hinge himself, as we allow him to meet him, I'm like, God, I've got these questions right now. And he'll look you in the eye. And he'll give you an answer that hinges you to know, yeah, I can show up. You know, I got to spend some time with Mama Heidi, and she said to me, she said, Karina, thank you for keeping your eyes on him, and thank you for not quitting what you're doing with your hands. I was like, you know, that was the test of my previous season. Will my eyes stay on him, and will I still keep believing that there's something in my hands that could actually influence the world? And, you know, I was like, man, Mama Heidi, you couldn't have said something more profound to me. Because that's what it's been. When everything else was stripped away, that's what I had. And so I want to encourage you, know that when we're hinged with him, even the little we do with our hands, he uses, he blesses, he multiplies, he creates. And we get to see things we never imagine happening. And so I just want to encourage you, know that he's good at what he does. And my heart position right now is, God, I trust you. You're bigger than COVID-19. You're bigger than all of this. You're bigger than an economy that might fall over right now. You're bigger than what I'm seeing in the nations. Like, I see you above all. That is the fear of the Lord. We need the fear of the Lord in this season, because we need to see him bigger than all of that, because then our hearts are in trust. And when our hearts are in trust, we can walk in the way that he asks us to walk in. Because sometimes it doesn't look like how we imagine it would. And so I want to encourage you as a church, really steward places of the presence, really steward where we see him, where we hear him, and not just with a good thought. It's more than a good thought. It's more than just in your imagination. It's real. It's just unseen. But the unseen realm, may that become more real to us than the seen realm. Because it's still, he's still here. He's still right with us. And that, I think, is our treasure. And so that's what I want to share. I want to finish with just praying for you. I want to pray a blessing upon you for these hinges to really be hinged. Because I think when Jesus comes into that, the hinge of that, or the pin of that, that holds that hinge in place is the Holy Spirit. You know, there is something about the Spirit that becomes that pin, that puts those two things together, that holds it in place, that will see the door swing widely open. So let's just find a comfortable place and let's just pray. Wow, God, you are so beautiful. We just love who you are. God, in this moment, we see you above. We see you bigger. We see you more able than anything else happening in this world right now, God. God, you are our one thing. And as other things have been stripped away, God, and God, we've even linked those things to you. We've gone, well, God, you blessed me with money so that I could go and buy coffee with my friends. And so we've linked your blessing and your favor to the freedom that we've experienced in the natural realm. God, I declare in this season, we'll know a freedom in our hearts and spirits that we've never known before, God. And God, we will meet you face to face, that we will hear you speak our names, that we'll know how captivated you are by who we are, and that we'll allow you to hinge yourself, God. God, come and be a hinge of peace. Come and be a hinge of life, God, even where it feels like things were dead. In many ways for Mary, it was like things felt like they were dead. God, will you be the hinge of life? Will we see new life in this season, God? God, where it's confusion, will you come and bring peace, that you are peace that passes all understanding? And God, will you come and will you hinge yourself in our doubt, in our questions, in our hunger for wanting to really meet you? Will you come and meet us? God, we'll be patient even if that takes 8 days. We'll keep asking. We'll keep believing that you will show up for us. And God, will you come and restore our destinies, our futures, our lives, God, because you want to do that even in the midst of our failures. You want to hinge yourself in our failures to create such a dependency on you, God, that we will not live, we will not move, we will not have our being outside of you, God. God, I thank you for lives of union, that the door of destiny will swing wide open as we hinge ourselves to you. So, Father, I declare over Pursuit Church as they step into their 31st year, a year of encounter, a year of transformation of a life face to face. That, God, that the covering, that our lives, that the treasure will simply be you, because that's all we need, God. And we say yes to a life surrendered to all that you have for us. So God, I pray that we will know what it is to live that life, that we won't puff ourselves up and go, yep, I'm qualified now, nor will we puff ourselves down. We'll go, here am I, and here are you. And we will know a life of Christ's sufficiency, that it's together, that it really is a hinge. And I declare of a pursuit that they'll be known as a church in this season that hinge themselves so much in your presence, God, that the door swung widely open and that the world will see who he is, that the world's response is he is because of the lives of the people in pursuit. So I bless them. I speak encounters. I speak visions. I speak words over them, God. I speak life upon them, and I bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.